Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And one of the elders said unto me, one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Amen. And, you know, when we think about this one reference, it's one of many. There's more than 150 titles for Jesus. And I'm going to present some of them to you, but not all of them. And each one brings out a different aspect of his nature and of his power and of his attributes and what he can do. More than 150 that tell about his power and his greatness and his love and his might and who he is. And this came to me because I was thinking about August. And August, you know, the lion. And I was thinking about victory. I was thinking about triumph and some of the things that this means. So we're going to be studying this and looking into some of the things that this portends. But this name goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And the tribes of Israel each had a banner. Each had an ensign. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 52, it says, "And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents or camp, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their host." God, through Moses, told them that so as to identify the different tribes and the different clans, they were to each have a sign, an ensign, a banner, or a standard. And in Numbers chapter 2, verse 1, it repeats it. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, or shall set their tent or camp by their own standard, with the ensign," and this is the interesting part, "or the standard of their father's house." Of their father's house. "And they were to camp around the tabernacle in the wilderness." It says, "Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch." So they were separated by quite a vast area. Israel was spread out over maybe, could be up to as much as 12 miles, actually, when you look at it. They were spread out quite far. They were to keep a distance from the tabernacle, but they were to camp in a certain way around the tabernacle. And so this name, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And we're going to look at that and see what it means that it suddenly appears in the book of Revelation, because it's kind of strange, and I wanted to go over some of the depth. We've been talking about, and I preached last week about renaming your situation, right? And how every time Israel came into a place, they changed the name. They changed the name. And of course, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, was after they got victory over the Amalekites. And we'll get back to that. But God told them the tribes, each tribe had their own banner. And it's funny about names and the names that were on the banners is that they had to do with the nature and attributes of each tribe. Now, one of the things that you really have to understand that the words, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, is really a title. It's a title. And it denotes something about the person who this refers to, of course, Jesus. And I wanted this month to be one where we focus on some things here. Sonship, overcoming, dominion, triumph, and victory. Because that's what the Lion of the Tribe of Judah represents. If you remember, John in his vision in chapter 4 of Revelation, he sees one sitting on the throne with a scroll sealed with seven seals. And it says that no one was found worthy. No one was found worthy to open the seal. And he begins to weep. And one of the elders comes to him and says, "Weep not, John." And that's when this phrase is said. For the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. But when he looks, what does he see? He sees a lamb. It's very strange, isn't it? It's very strange. This tells you this is a title. So it's conveying something. The Bible says when he looks, he sees a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb. This title refers to sonship, overcoming, dominion, triumph, and ultimately victory. And I wanted us to focus on that this month. Now, I told you that this is one of actually hundreds of titles for just even referring to Jesus. And I'm going to give you a few of them here. And in alphabetical order, the Bible says he is the advocate in 1 John 2:1. You know what that means? He's my lawyer. He's my defender. Hallelujah. The Bible says he's the Alpha and Omega. That means he's the beginning and the end. We taught two Bible studies about the Aleph and the Tav. That's in Revelation 1:8. He is the Almighty. There is none above him. There's no higher you can go. In Revelation 1:8, he is the Amen. That means he's the final word. He is the final word. When God says, let there be, it's so. Amen. He is the Amen in Revelation 3:14. The Bible says he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 3:1. He's the only person you need to go confess to. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go in a little box. You don't have to slide the window. He is the high priest, the Bible says, of our confession. And here's one I always say. It's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. If it was up to me and my little weak, puny faith, I wouldn't make it. But he will write my book if you will let him. He will write your book if you will let him. The Bible says he is the author. That means it comes from him. And the finisher. He will write the last chapter of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. I taught on this that he is the beloved son. Colossians 1:13. He is the bread of God. John 6:33, 50. He is the bread of life. John 6:35. He is the living bread. John 3:29. He declared them his brothers. He said, I no longer just call you friend, amen, but brother. That's in Matthew 12:50. He is the captain of our salvation in Hebrews 2:10. He is the chief shepherd. I tell you, can you grab any of these titles for your situation? Is there any situation you couldn't grab one of these and say, I need an advocate right now. I'm dealing with some trouble. Maybe I really did mess up, but you know, everyone is entitled, the law says, to a defender. Entitled. So even if you've messed up, you can have the advocate. Amen. The chief shepherd. And I skipped lots of these. There's 150 in the list I have. Going to the D's, he's deliverer. Romans 11:26. Of course, he's Emmanuel, God with us in Matthew 1:23. He is the faithful and true witness in Revelation 1:5 and Revelation 3:14. He's the first and last in Revelation 1:17. And he's the firstborn among many brothers in Romans 8:29. He's the firstborn from the dead in Revelation 1:5. Firstborn of all creation in Colossians 1:15. He is the first fruits from the dead. We've taught about that in 1 Corinthians 15:20. He's the hidden manna in Revelation 2:17. He's the high priest, our high priest in Hebrews 3:1 and 4:14 and 7:26. He who holds the keys of David. There's a whole Bible study in that. Anyone know what the keys of David was? All right. Maybe one Tuesday night. He is, of course, the I am in John 8:58. The intercessor in Hebrews 7:25. I'm only down to the L's now. He is the light of the world. And then, of course, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. I stopped at the L's. But there's more than 150 titles concerning just Jesus. Surely you can find one to call on and declare over your situation. Amen? You can declare that over your situation, that he calls you brother or sister, whoever you are, that he is the chief shepherd. When you're lost, when you don't know your way, the chief shepherd will come looking for you. Amen. He is the I Am, the faithful. I mean, you could just preach on just these names. Amen. But what I was trying to show you is that this was a title. Lion of the Tribe of Judah. It was one of the titles that John, through the Spirit, declared in Revelation 4. And it's not mentioned anywhere explicitly this way until you go all the way back to Genesis. And it starts with Jacob on his deathbed when he calls all of his 12 sons and he's declaring some names upon them and some things upon them. And usually he says about three things about each of them. And he tells them that the things he is saying are prophetic. Are prophetic. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. In the last. Very strange. He's got his sons here giving them some prophetic descriptions, but he attributes it to things that shall happen in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken or listen unto Israel, your father. So he knows he's about to die, and he calls all his 12 sons, and he starts to lay hands upon them and pronounce prophetic utterances on each of them. And I'm not going to go through all 12, but I'm going to focus on Judah. Genesis 49, 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp, that means a young lion. Returned, or from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? This is where the symbol, the emblem for Judah came from, as being a lion. And that became the emblem, the chief emblem of not only Judah, but of the grouping that marched under Judah's flag. Verse 10, I've quoted many times. The scepter, that means the rod of authority, the right to rule, the crown, in other words, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This was a prophecy that I'm sure at the time no one really understood. If you read further down, Joshua says, I am to be gathered to my people. He was prophesying of his own death. But he was also saying, and this fulfills the part about being the last days, he was also saying there's coming a time when people won't be gathered to the Sheol or to the grave, but to the one that's coming. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In the Old Testament, when it says gathered to his people, it was signifying a righteous death. Jacob, further down, just before he dies, he says, I shall be gathered unto my people. But he prophesied that through the descendant of Judah was coming one who was going to be the ruler, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And as you read down, he names certain characteristics about each of his sons. Usually it's about three things. Sometimes he describes them, he attributes them to an animal. In Judah's case, it was a lion. And sometimes to places, and sometimes to things. I'm not going to go through all of the things, but those became the emblems of the 12 tribes. Those became the emblems of the 12 tribes. And I don't know when, but in the last few years, Israel actually printed a set of stamps with the emblems of the 12 tribes. So you see, Judah, it's represented by a lion. And Levi, anyone guess what that is? That square thing? What was Levi? The tribe, what did they become? The priests, what did the priests wear? Ephod. The ephod. So Levi's symbol, or one of the symbols of Levi, was the breastplate. And that's what that represents. And Simeon, you can't really see it, but it's a city. And the reason why that's a city is because Jacob prophesied about them taking Shechem, the city of Shechem. And so that became their emblem. And Reuben, you can't really see it, but it's some plants. Anyone know what the plant was that was associated with Reuben? Mandrakes. And so his symbol became that of a man, but the plant that was associated with him was mandrakes. And Asher, you probably can't see it very well, but that's an olive tree. And Gad, you'll see the prophecy that Jacob said, "You shall become a troop." And so those were representing tents, a troop, and so on. I'm not going to go through all of them. Naphtali was a hind, and Dan has several symbols. Dan, the name Dan means judge, but he was also the symbol of a serpent and also the symbol of an eagle. Symbol of a serpent and eagle. So most of the tribes had more than one symbol. They had a symbol of an animal, they had a symbol of a plant, and they had a symbol of a place. And what was Judah's place? What was Judah's place? It's a place. When you think of the land of Judah, what's located in Judah? That's right, Bethlehem and Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem is in Judah. Amen. So we see that each tribe had a banner and a symbol and a plant and certain things that were associated with them. And we see that the banners represent something prophetic for each of them. Now, the scripture says in Songs of Solomon, I'm quoting Songs of Solomon today, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner was love." Isn't it great that God loves us? So you'll see this theme throughout scripture of a banner and of a flag, and that God expressly told the children of Israel that they were to have a flag, a banner. Now, when they camped, they were to camp in groups of three around the tabernacle, with the tabernacle in the center. And there was a leader of the three that for each group. So there's four groups of three, which makes the 12 tribes. So on the east side was Judah, which was the biggest tribe as far as soldiers. They had 74,600 soldiers. That's what Moses numbered. And with them on the east side was Issachar, which had 54,400 soldiers, and Zebulun, which had 57,000 soldiers. And they were camped on the east side. What was special about the east side of the tabernacle? Anyone? Because it was the entrance to the tabernacle. The entrance to the tabernacle faced east. So Judah was, and his three were camped right at the entrance to the tabernacle on the east side. On the south side was the camp of Reuben. And then on the west side was the camp of Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. And then on the north side, the camp of Dan. So there were four tribes that were called out as leaders of each group of three. And not only did they have a personal banner, but there was a banner or standard for each group of three. And so for Judah, of course, the lion was the banner for the group of three tribes. And on the south side, it became Reuben's banner, which was the symbol of a man. And on the west side, it became the symbol of an ox. And on the north side, the other symbol that is associated with Dan, I said, was an eagle. He has three symbols, actually: eagle, serpent, and also the scales as a judge. That's what the word Dan means. So we see that there are also four creatures that are represented here. And it just so happened that these are the same symbols that are around the throne that we find in the book of Revelation. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and around about the throne were four beasts or creatures full of eyes before and behind. So God had the children of Israel camp in a certain way. And in fact, when they marched in a certain way too. They marched in a certain order. First, the Levites, who were in the innermost with the ark and all of the things to do with the temple. Then the first of the tribes that followed them was Judah, with the banner of the lion. And then next came the banner of the man. Then next came the banner grouping of three tribes with the ox. And lastly was the banner of the eagle or the snake under Dan. And that was the order God told them to march. And in fact, Jewish scribes and writers in the Talmud and in some of their writings believe that this order was given to them actually also by Jacob. Because before he died, where did Jacob die? Does anyone remember? It's interesting. Where did Jacob die? The country that he died in. Let me make it big. Okay. Where was his son Joseph? He was in Egypt. And when his brothers came down because they were in famine, you know the story how he, you know, revealed himself to his brothers, and finally, because there was famine throughout the land, he had the family, the whole family, come down to Egypt. So Jacob actually died in Egypt. But that's not where he wanted to be permanently buried. Do you remember what happened? He commanded his children that whenever he did die, he was not to be buried there. He was to be taken all the way back to the promised land. And that's probably for another Bible study what the prophetic significance of that is. But he commanded them to take him in a certain order. They were his sons, his 12 sons were to take him in a certain order. And although it's not explicit in the Bible, it's in Genesis 50, he commanded his sons to take him in a certain order back to Canaan. And so this order was the order that they marched in, with Judah being the first after the Levites, then the three tribes of Gad, Simeon, and Reuben, Reuben being the head of that group, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, the ox, and then lastly, Dan with the eagle. And so all of this is significant. The Bible never puts anything in there just to fill space. Let's go on. And we see that those four creatures now start to be revealed in Revelation, that was around the camp encampment of Israel, Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts or creatures had each of them six wings about him. What's 4 times 6? 24. 24. And how many elders were there? Okay. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts or creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Then it says the 24 elders, I cut that verse out. What do? They cast down their golden crowns. Now, I went back in the Old Testament to bring us to this point because I was showing you where this title comes from. It comes from the symbol for the tribe of Judah. And it symbolizes what Jacob prophesied about him, that his brothers would bow down to him and that he would be on the neck of all his enemies. Now, we see the scene in heaven where John is taken up into heaven, and he sees a throne and one holding a scroll. And it's sealed with seven seals. Let's read it. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now, when you hear a lot of Bible teaching and stuff about Revelation, it's all about the seven seals, right? And what we find in the next few chapters is the book being opened. And every time one of the seals is broken, there is a prophetic thing that happens. But I have some questions. What's inside the book? We hear about what happens every time the seal is broken. But why did John weep? What did he know about this book? Why was he weeping that no one could open the book? What was so important about opening the book? Why was the book needing to be opened anyway? Interesting question. Why did John weep? And what was in the book? The angel said no one was found worthy to open the book or to look thereon. So what did John know about the book that made him weep? That it needed to be opened, and if it wasn't opened, that was a bad thing. We see in the next few verses, all the way to verse 8, or for the majority of Revelation, the opening of the book. Every time a seal is broken, something happens. The first seal, there are four horsemen. And we get all the way to the seventh seal, and it says the mystery of God is finished. But we don't hear explicitly what's inside the book. Anyone ever thought about that? All we've been hearing in Revelation is the seals being opened. But why did John weep? Why did he think that this book needed it? It made him so sad that he cried. Well, let's look about in the Old Testament and see if we can find out about the book that was sealed. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book." You begin to see why John was going to weep. Because the prophecy was that everyone who was found written in the book would be delivered of thy people. Let me read it again. "It's going to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Who? Everyone that shall be found written in the book." I wonder if John thought about the prophecy of his namesake Daniel, because the book of John and the book of Revelation are very similar. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, And they that turn away turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end. Isn't that interesting? Shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end. So in Daniel chapter 12, God tells Daniel that there is a book in which are the names of all of those who are going to be delivered. The people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Is your name written in the book? Is your name written in the book? But thou, O Daniel, shut up the book, the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But yet, the book is going to be sealed. Let me see if I can say this the way I want. I'm just going to go to the scripture. The first time the word "this" is applied is when Moses is interceding for the children of Israel. They have sinned. They have done some terrible things. They keep messing up. They keep doubting God. They keep rebelling. And God says, I'm going to destroy them. But Moses intercedes. He said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. In the Bible, there are many references to books. Most of the books in the Bible are written under the inspiration of God by men. But there is a book that the Bible says God writes himself. There is a book that God reserves to write himself. Moses refers to it, I pray thee, blot out of thy book, which thou hast written. He's saying, listen, take me instead, but please forgive my people. And of course, God has mercy on Israel. Let's look at this again, the reference in Revelation 3 and 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What I'm trying to say to you is, and this is just my understanding, that the reason why John was weeping was because he knew this prophecy. He knew what was written in Daniel, that there was a book in which everybody of his people whose name was written would be delivered. Would be delivered. What other reason would he be weeping that no one could open the book? Aren't you glad that the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed? No one in heaven or in earth was found worthy to open the book. And John started weeping. He thought of the countless millions who had died. He thought of Israel in the past. He thought of all the souls who had died. And if no one could open the book or read the or look thereon, they would be lost. Because the prophecy said the book was sealed, but everyone that was written in the book would be delivered. You know, Moses said, blot not my name from your book. I could have put a whole bunch more references. Jesus said to his disciples, He had given them power and authority. They had gone out and they had healed demons sick. They had cast out demons and they came home all happy. And he said, it's great that demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If Jesus had not gone through what he came to do, the book could not have been opened. The book could not have been opened. In the garden, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not my will, but thy will be done. But thy will be done. You see, I believe this book was the book of life. What other reason would John be weeping when he found out that no one could open the book? But the elder said, weep not. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You see, that title came all the way back from Jacob. Remember what Jacob said, that a ruler, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh, which means peace, come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Because of what Jesus did, because of the prophecy that the book was going to be sealed, no one could open it. No one was found worthy. But he said, weep not, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah hath prevailed. But yet when John looked, he didn't see a lion. What he saw was a lamb. Bible says the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because it was Jesus' perfect sacrifice that enabled those seals to be broken. You know, that's what enabled the seals to be broken. Now, the book is not read. The book is not read when the seals are broken. I'll tell you when the book is actually read. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I am sure, although it's not called explicitly, that that's what the book is. This is in Revelation 3:5, Revelation 4, the Father's holding the book. But it can't be opened. The seals are started to be opened by the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, which is Jesus. And in getting to the opening the book, there was a whole bunch of stuff that had to happen first. There's a whole bunch of stuff that had to happen first. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. You know what that represents? Righteousness of God. The priest had a beautiful ornamental garment that was white and blue and with the beautiful jeweled breastplate. But when he, on the Day of Atonement, was going to go before God, none of that mattered. All of that was created by man. That could not suffice. He could not walk into God's presence with his own righteousness, with his own works. None of that would have worked. He had to take it all off and put on a simple linen garment. The Bible says in Revelation, John sees a whole multitude of tongues, tribes, and people. And he says, who are these? He says, thou knowest, these are they who came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you want your name written in that book, if your name's going to be written in that book, there's only one way. Amen, there's only one way. Jacob prophesied it. He said, to him shall the gathering of the people be. In modern translations, it puts it slightly differently. It translates, to him shall the obedience of the people be. But I prefer the King James Version because I think it's referring to death. When we die, the Bible says we are changed. Amen. We are going to be immediately in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, waiting for the redemption of the body. I know I say it every week. You'll have one more thing to post on Facebook. I reckon that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with what is going to be the glory that is going to be revealed in us. The Bible says that when he looked, he saw a lamb that had been slain with seven horns. And he went and he took the book and he starts to open it. Now, What we get for the next few chapters, and that's more to come. We have four more weeks of this. I will go into more detail. He starts to open the seals. But the book is not read yet. I'll tell you when it's read. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names, this is the Antichrist, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When you go through scripture and you look, if you were to do a word search on the word blot, it's always in reference to the book of life. It's always in reference to the book of life. As I've taught many times, God is a just God. Everybody he has created starts out in the book of life. That's what that means. It's what you do during this life gets your name blotted out. That's why every baby that's born is in the book of life. That's why if a baby dies, they're already in the book of life. It's not what they have to do. It's what you do during this life. That's why it says, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life and that your name is not blotted out. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's what we do. It's in response to the King of Kings. It's going to be automatic because we are conceived. David said in Psalms, we are conceived in sin. It doesn't take long. As soon as we get that tree knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says in John that if a man say he hath no sin, he's a liar. So it's whenever you come to the age of consciousness of good and evil, you know, whenever you have that knowledge of good and evil, what I call it, the tree knowledge, and we become conscious of sin, that's when we become guilty. But you know what? We don't have to accept that because the lion of the tribe, Judah, hath prevailed. We could not have opened that book. We could not have changed the name. We could not have unblotted our name out. He tells John, stop weeping. You don't have to weep. But everyone whose name is not written in the book, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, that title, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, refers all the way back to the fact that through the seed of Judah would come the Messiah, the one who was worthy, the only one who could defeat Satan, the only one who could fulfill the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman would crush his head. Amen. And because of that prophecy in Daniel where it said, all of those, your people, will be delivered who are written in the book. I really believe that that's what made John weep when he thought about that, the fact that the book was sealed. In Daniel, God says the book's going to be sealed. When? Until the time of the end. And we see in John 3:5, Jesus speaks about the book of life. In Revelation 3:5, and then in Revelation 4, we see the book in the hand of him sitting on the throne. And no one was found worthy. Let me tell you when the book is read. Daniel 7:10. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Now, if that was it, that would be bad news. If the verse ended there, that would be very bad news, because those books that were opened are about us and our lives. And if that other book could not be opened, we'd be in trouble. But in Revelation 12:20 and 12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. In Daniel 7:10, it just said the books were opened. Because you know what? Jesus had not died yet. The book of life had not been opened. But in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, it says the same thing. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. But this time, because of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and another book was opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. If it had ended in Daniel, that wouldn't have been good news, because the books were sealed. But in Revelation 20, because of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Amen. Aren't you glad? If you have been baptized in his name, if you have been filled with the Spirit, your name is in that book. Your name is in that book. Let me say it again. Your name is in that book. Jesus said, rather rejoice. 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 Not that you have miracles. Not even that you have food to eat. Not even that God has blessed you. None of those things will matter. But rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus even downplayed the miracles. Yes, you've been able to cast out demons. Yes, you've been able to have blessings. But that's not why you should rejoice. Yes, rejoice, but that's not the main reason you should rejoice. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Do you see the difference here in Daniel? It's almost the same. That's why John wept. Because in Daniel, the books were sealed. The one book was sealed. The other books were open. The books were set, and the judgment and the books were open. But the one book in Daniel 12 was sealed. And if it was going to stay sealed, then the names could not be read. The names could not be read. But in Revelation 20:12, at the end, it says the same thing. And the books were opened. Exact same wording as in Daniel 7:10. And the books were opened. But it makes a special note. Don't you see this? It does not stop there. But because of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and another book was opened. Because of that, Jesus said in Revelation 3:5, I'm going to confess your name. Where is he going to get your name from? He's going to be reading the book. The book that was written by him. He's going to be reading the book. Amen. I'm going to finish early today because I would like us to pray. I'd like us to pray. If you could stand with me. You know, sometimes this life drains us, and we come here just focused on our troubles and all the things that have happened. But I want you, as I always say, to make your ground good. And remember, there is another book. Could have preached on that, the other book. The other book. I'm so glad there was another book. I'm so glad there was another book, because if it ended in Daniel, there would be no other book. Jesus had not died. That book with the seven seals could not be opened. But the elder said, weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's really strange. In Genesis 49, in the scripture that I read to you, when Jacob is prophesying over Judah, He uses two different words for lion. He uses two different words for lion. He uses the common word for lion, which is ari, but then he uses another word for lion, which means to roar. And it's not used commonly. It's called laba. And it is the Hebrew word which is for the lion that roars. And that is what the lion of the tribe of Judah is. Because the Bible said that when he died, he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. Do you understand what that means? That's the Holy Spirit. And today, if you can rejoice about nothing else, understand that the Bible is telling you, whatever your troubles are, whatever you're going through, whatever your trials are, weep not. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And he goes on to say, and he is able to open the book. And because he's able to open the book, he's able to read your name. Because that's what he says in Revelation 3:5. I'm going to call your name. Because it's all about your name being written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. This is something new I've never taught before. And I thank God for the revelation. Because the word to you this month is rejoice. Understand, you have victory. You have triumph. You are called. You are his beloved. And despite what's going on this earth, despite what's going on in your life, rejoice. Rejoice. For your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that you have seen fit, Lord God, that our names are written in your book, and that you have triumphed, and you are able to break the seals. You are able to look thereon. You are able to call our name. Hallelujah. You said you would confess our name, that you would call our name. Lord, help us to have a spirit of rejoicing, oh God, that you have overcome, that you have triumphed. Lord, that you have taken us for your own, and that we are part of your bride. Lord God, we thank you this morning, Lord, for helping us to understand that we are no more to weep, but to cry out to you in victory, that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. That you have called us to this great work. We thank you, Lord. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to be not defeated, Lord God, but to lift up the flag, the banner that you have hung upon us. And your banner is love. Your banner is over us, O God. You have covered us, Lord God. We are going to stand on our Father's ensign, and that banner is love. We thank you this afternoon, this morning, for blessing us. Lord, we ask you, O God, to continue to feed us, to lift us up, and direct our path. We thank you and we rejoice. Hallelujah. We rejoice and we give you the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this afternoon. Hallelujah. There was a preacher back in Michigan, and his catchphrase was, "Aren't you glad?" I'm going to steal it from him today, because aren't you glad that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? God bless you. I want more. I'm looking forward to second service. Amen. Meditate upon this word. Don't let Satan discourage you. The word this month is rejoice. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed and is able to take the scroll and to open the book. God bless you in Jesus' name.